Yeah, we'll get started. Okay, so it's 4:06 and we have a quorum. And I'd like to call the November 10th, 2022 meeting to order. So let's start out with roll call. Fred Ariza.
Here.
Margo Garcia.
Here.
Yolanda Herrera.
Here.
Michael Harrier.
Here.
Trevor Ledbetter is absent. Yeah. Susanna Schippers. What?
He did email me. He's out of town, so.
Yes.
Okay. Susanna Schippers.
Here.
And let's see, I don't see Elvira. Ryan Thomas.
Here.
And Chris Yarger present. So, all right, let's quickly do this. Item number two, approval of minutes, August 11th, 2022 with corrections.
I have some corrections to the minutes, mostly just grammatical, which I will send. I will send them. And with those corrections, the only one that's non-grammatical is it says waste, diversions, collection, and education. No report was given. And then it gives the report. So that's easy.
So that you can just cross off.
Well, you can cross off. But the others are I will just copy this and send my corrections to Brittany. So with those corrections, I move that they be approved.
I second the motion.
Yes. All right. Let's move on to
we have to vote.
Waste diversion
we
collection.
Have to vote, Chris.
You have to vote or you have to make a statement that they're
what?
We had a motion, so unfortunately.
Oh, normally you don't need a motion to accept minutes. So all right. That's updated Robert's.
They say, but you have to announce it on the recording so that the person taking the minutes knows that they have.
Okay. No, I usually just say we'll accept the minutes as written or corrected, and then that's it.
Okay.
Okay. And then we'll just move on to your subcommittee report.
Okay. For
waste diversion collections and education.
Great. We had a great meeting with Trevor Ledbetter. I'm sorry he's not here, but anyway. So two of us met on Wednesday, November 2nd, and we were joined by ESAC member Trevor Ledbetter. Margo read from a newspaper report on the electric vehicle battery recycling plant, which is going to open in Eloy. To quote, the Eloy facility will process lithium ion batteries that have reached the end of their service life, as well as battery manufacturing scrap, warehousing, and diagnostic testing, says Illinois-based Heritage Battery Recycling, part of Serba Solutions, end quote. We have been asking how Tucson plans to deal with EV battery waste. And so here was some information about that. She also noted that Councilman Kozacek's newsletter contained a story about the contamination in the plastic he's collecting that caused the breakdown of Bifusion's processing plant and also a fire from lithium batteries. ES is not the only one with recycling contamination. The reason we invited Trevor Ledbetter to the meeting was to have a report on the university move-out waste diversion experiences. I sat next to Trevor while we were doing our sustainability workshop and was very interested in what he was talking about and wanted more details. So as head of sustainability at the U of A, he has tried over the past few years different methods to divert the materials the students throw out as they empty their dorm rooms and leave town. He's talking with about 71,000 pounds of material being diverted. So you can see that it's a lot of different, it's quite a lot. He is only dealing with the campus disposal. So this is nothing about the high rise apartments that are the high-rise dorms or the mini dorms that are sprinkled throughout the community. There's a tremendous amount of reusable materials being disposed of, including furniture, clothing, food, electronics, bedding, and mini refrigerators over the two-week move out in the spring. They have partnered with Goodwill, Salvation Army, Big Brothers Big Sisters, Habitats, Suburban Miners, Gospel Rescue Mission, and other NGOs, and it is more than any one of them can handle. Sister Jose's will take open toiletries. About 3,000 pounds of food was taken to the campus food closet. Last year, they tried Adopt-A-Dorm with one agency handling one dorm. Still, they were overwhelmed with the amount of material that needs to be removed from the dorm and stored somewhere to be prepared for sale. It had gone to the university surplus warehouse, but they no longer have room for it. They held a big rummage sale, and the goods were priced to sell and sold out in one day. The bedding was trashed as no one wanted to wash it. They aren't sure what to do next if all their partners decline to continue. And each time they talk to one of these partners, they're now getting more hesitant about getting involved. They need people to stand by the disposal containers to remind students to recycle and dispose of materials and not dispose of materials in the waste bins. The effort is not even touching, as I said, the high rise. We did some brainstorming on ideas as to whom might want to take on these high value items. The need for storage space from May to the disposal by August, education and volunteers. There is definitely a market for these materials. We'll continue to work on this issue. And I might just say that I met with Kevin Dahl on Tuesday night. I happened to be at a meeting where he was, and we discussed this some, and he's very interested in getting involved and learning more about it and trying to support it, because it's a very neatly containable issue. It's on the campus. It's 2 weeks in May where the work has to be done. And then, you know, there's other work that can be done over time. And they were paying the students to stand there and monitor from about 7 in the morning, I guess, to 10 o'clock at night as the students were bringing the things out. But they were having trouble with getting students to do that because it's their exam time, obviously. So I think there's a lot of things that we can do to help them with that. And I think it's a tremendous opportunity. 71,000 pounds of materials, which are terribly usable. They're really good. He was telling us that some students literally are so wealthy that they literally pack a suitcase, fly out, and leave everything else in the dorm room. And then the people have to come along and clean that out. And all of it is, again, you know, from, I told you how much food, I mean, just the amount of food you think of that they're leaving behind. And they have a campus pantry to help students who are struggling to get food. So it's between the haves and the have-nots. So we'll continue to work on this and hope we can get some more of you involved in it. The MRF report was grim. The city of Tucson paid Republic $142,718 for September, up from $88,000 in August. This was the result of falling prices for the materials collected. The value of paper and plastics dropped by about half from the previous month. Total collections was down 11%. The contract amendments are still under discussion. The next waste audit will be done before Thanksgiving. That's, of course, where we always hope that there will be better news on the amount of trash that's being picked up or contamination that has to go up to the trash. Roll-offs are available for neighborhood association cleanups. Luis Luna went over the new homeless protocol how ES is participating. In tier one is cleanup where there are no tenants present. Since July, they have done 196 of these. Tier two is where tenants are asked to vacate for 12 hours or so while ES cleans up around the camp, and then people can return. So that's just, you know, they have no garbage collection. They have nothing, no way to dispose of their waste. So this is a way to help that. 68 of those cleanups have been done. Tier three is the high risk cleanup where the people are present and won't leave. The police come as well as other services. 16 cleanups have been done with that, including with one pending. Involved in the protocol are the Tucson Police Department, Housing and Community Development, and ES. You may have also seen the press coverage on the Southern Arizona Construction Career Day on November 2nd and 3rd. Middle school and high school students came and looked at the big equipment, climbed on it. Some of them ran it. They had a picture of a guy using one of the pinchers, picking up and putting a tennis ball on top of a cone. But the effort is to think about getting students involved in construction careers. ES was there with all kinds of equipment, as well as looking for mechanics, especially mechanics for heavy equipment. And they gave away goodies. We didn't find out what those were, but anyway, they felt it was a big success, that the students were very enthusiastic. And they had multiple thousands. I'm not sure I put down a number, but I think I saw in the newspaper it was in the order of 3,000 students who came on those 2 days. Public outreach included Boo Bash at the Lincoln Park with scads of kids climbing onto the big garbage truck, which they always love. They had cornhole games and ran out of everything they had to give away. November 5th was zero waste collection at Catalina Methodist Church on Speedway. It was a huge success with vendors being overwhelmed with materials. That's a follow-up from the, obviously that was after our meeting, but some people who had been there told me that. Apparently the police department said next time they're bringing in their evidence group people, because apparently when you hand them the drugs, they have to log them and then turn them over to the evidence people who log them again. And so they said next time they're just bringing evidence people and they can log them straight out, so they don't have this intermediate step. So apparently they were just lots and lots of people and lots collected. Christina Polgesgrove is arranging rate, or has been holding rate increase meetings at the wards, but there've been very low attendance at them. In some cases, I think nobody, and I think the highest one was like 4 or 5 people. November 19th is the family festival at Reed Park. Tucson Clean and Beautiful will be helping with that. And a bus has been reserved for the traditional Valentine Day Murph and Landfill tour. So anyone who hasn't been on that should mark it on their calendars, and you should get ready for it.
Sign up,
yeah. You should have gotten your B&B schedule in the mail. Mine came with a nice brochure and a little sticker thing to put on with when my pickup days are. The calendar of household hazardous waste was in the November utility bills, with December bills having information about tree cycle, holiday trash, and recycling pickup days as things get moved around due to the holidays. Code enforcement reported that the long-awaited new computer system went live on October 31st, and Lori went through a demonstration of how the system works, and that was interesting to watch. I'm not sure, I don't know, I don't think Chris was particularly impressed by how it was working, but anyway, it was interesting to see. Frank Benias reported on the Los Reales Sustainability Council campus. The HHW facility will not be done until February or March. The cell 4B design is ready to go to bid within the month. The methane gas recapture RFQ bid package went out, and there have been a lot of interest expressed in the project. ES met with the architects for the redesign of the intersection of the entrance to the campus. They will redo the road to the scale, redo parking, and the north perimeter walking path and fencing. Our next meeting, we're moving to Thursday, December 1st at 3:00. So hopefully Yolanda can join us. And Trevor has been invited back to continue the discussion on the dorm move out waste diversion. Yolanda, is your hand up for a reason? Or is that just my pointer? Oh, sorry, it's just my pointer. It was sitting on Yolanda's name. Okay, that's the end of our report.
Thank you. It was interesting. All right, well, Carlos, I know you're probably meetinged out, but you're up for item four, director's report and the ES rate adjustments update.
Okay. Thank you. Just wanted to provide you a quick overview. I think Ms. Margo already covered some of those bullet points or some of those that commentary. We, as you know, we went to Marion Council, presented the proposed rate adjustments. They essentially chose really to continue to move forward with water and ES rates. They did set up a time, I believe the first meeting in January, which would be scheduled for January the 10th, for them to consider adopting any proposed ordinances related to the rate increases. They're scheduling a public hearing for that particular day. We have had so far, I believe, five open houses to date. And I don't think none of those have been attended with more than five residents in each meeting. So I think all of them have been under five. We have had a couple of interactions asked in terms of our fees, but very, very minimal. So tonight we have our last open house or town hall related to the rates. It's going to be at 6 o'clock at the
Parks and Recreation
building. Yes. Our next steps is really just to get us all lined up, get us ready, really to present to the council, be ready for that public hearing on January the 10th, and really wait to see where the Marion Council would direct us really to move forward. So in terms of when, if it's going to be implemented, or if they're going to consider that, what the schedule going to look like, and the actual amount of the possible increase. So just want to give you just an overview or somewhat in a holding pattern for now until the beginning of the year. And yet we don't know exactly when those fees, if they're adjusted, when and the amount. So thank you.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yes.
All right. We're on item 5-0, waste discussion. Is there anything that you want to bring up, Carlos? Or
I don't have no major update on that one. We are still finalizing one of the final sections, which is the technology section. We had to make some adjustments related to the recycling facility. So we added some commentary to that. So hopefully we'll get that new section revised and essentially get it adopted and get it approved. We still are on track really to deliver or present to you and to Mayor and Council next month. Well, December is already here. Yeah, next month in terms of the final draft product.
Okay. Any questions for Carlos? Nope. Let's move on then to
item. Oh, I guess.
Oh, go ahead.
It's sort of to the revised about the contract with the MRF, since MRF is part of our considerations. What's your prognosis on when something's going to happen to that?
So we, Pat and I were out of town when the last amendment expired. So it expired on Halloween Day. So we extended it for another 30 days. So that's essentially November 30th when the last and final extension was granted or will be granted. We did meet with Republic last Monday. So we went over what are some of the things we're looking for. They committed to getting us some numbers, revised numbers, or their counter proposal by this Friday. We're going to react to that, and hopefully we can have a response to them in the next few days afterwards. But we're essentially are trying to assemble what is going to be the backup plan if we don't really come to some more favorable terms for the city. So at the end of the day, it's either A, two options. A, we come up with something that we feel comfortable, defendable in terms of the agreement, definitely something more favorable than what we had today. Or B, we would part ways and find what we do in the interim really to move away from that agreement.
Wow. How much does it cost to build a MRF?
So I think in today's dollars, probably that is probably going to be anywhere between $30 to $40 million.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to take at least a couple of years to build.
Yeah.
One of the things that we are considering, though, Phoenix just went out and released or in the process of awarding a bid for recycling services. And just to put things into context, their tonnage is a lot higher than ours. Probably anywhere between 20 to 30,000 more tons. And they own the facilities, the recycling facilities, their MRF facilities. And so they bring people on board really to manage those facilities. So the range, depending on the tonnages, their range is anywhere between $85 to $100 a ton or $110 a ton for processing recyclables. So if you look at where we're at today, under the current agreement, but using the August numbers, not using what we're paying, our average is about a net cost to the city is about $127 per ton. So when we look at where we need to be at, we need to be in that range, pretty close to Phoenix's range. Obviously, the closer the better. But we'd run at the risk if we put it out of the street potentially, is that the numbers may be higher than what we're paying today. So that's what we're trying to weigh in and see if we can hopefully get some more favorable numbers that it doesn't really necessitate for us to go out to bid. But if we do go out to bid, that's our concern, that maybe the numbers based on our tonnage may be a little bit higher than or significant or higher than what we're paying today. But again, we don't know that, and that's a risk that we need to assess and how best to move forward.
Wow.
Well, I'm glad you're thinking about it and looking at alternatives. I think that's part of negotiation, is the best alternative, best alternative to the agreement, and to have some idea of what you would do and what the cost would be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also helps for public see that you're serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't just some game that you're playing, but that you're really serious, that you have another plan. You have something else you can do with it, which is not just putting it in the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And Republic's making plenty of money.
Yes.
They're not hurting, that's for sure. Any other questions? Okay, let's go ahead then and move on to item 6, the monthly finance report.
If you don't mind, if I could just give you a quick overview of it. We continue to really transition from the old system to the new system. So you see on the notes that essentially Vicky provided, a lot of those things are still bundled up. They're not really broken down into the various sections. In terms of where those labor costs are essentially being, how they're being grouped and not where they need to be at. So from a revenue perspective, we are looked like we're going to be ahead of the game. Again, that's projection in terms of where we at so far, to the tune of about projected revenue was 53.3. When we adopted the budget, we're looking somewhere around 56.2. So that's a positive number in the tunes of 2.8 million dollars. It shows it's a negative, but it's actually is positive that we project to bring in more revenue than we had anticipated. But again, that's just purely a projection. But we're in line to where we need to be in the positive side. Again, if we go and take a look at page 2 of the report, again, it really just denotes really where we at on those individual line items. What you see on the red is again, we're seeing that a lot of the other salary components that I mentioned earlier are being bundled into areas that don't belong. So we continue to work through that and making those modifications as we speak. So we're probably gonna see that in the next month to 2 months. But what we're focusing ourselves is really, if you look at page 3 and 4, or page 3, is really how we're capturing the numbers really in terms of what we adopted the budget, $55.9 million, where we're projecting we're gonna be at the end of the fiscal year, given our trends, $54.8 million. So we're still gonna be in the black, or projecting to be in the black, to the tune of $1.1 million. Keep in mind that essentially this budget doesn't reflect or does not include any proposed rate increases. So this is really as we stand today. And again, we still project it to be okay. We still have a lot of unknowns early in the year. We still are seeing a lot of hits in terms of additional cost for some of the parts that we buy, the equipment that we're buying, and some of the consumables. So that's something that hopefully we can still continue to be on track for this fiscal year. If you look at page number 4, so again, on that is just overall projected revenue and expenditures. Again, we're still going to be continue to be in the black, to the tune of about roughly about $1 million on the assets, but then taking into account the additional revenue. So we're projecting somewhere to be $2 to $3 million in the black. But again, that's subject to some of the things that we may be seeing down the year. You look at page number 4, this is our capital program. The only updates on that from last month would be is our landfill gas to energy project. The bid due date was November 3rd last week. It got extended till today. So I think bids should have closed today. I believe the due date was around, or the due time was around 4 o'clock. So we'll see how much participation and how many potential vendors we identified as part of the first process out of the two-step process. The first is really qualifications. Then the second step is going to be the actual business proposal that they may be putting out there. I know there was a little bit of discussion of Los Reales landfill cell 4B. Final stages, so put it out on the street. The estimate that what I derived was around $6 million. We're probably getting closer to today's dollars, about $7.2 million. But still, it's a difference in terms of what we project versus what the actual numbers that may come in. When we look at cell 4B, it is much, much greater, bigger in size, and it requires a lot more material to be excavated out of it and shaped out of it. That's why I think the cost is going to be about $1 million more than in terms of the scope as compared to cell 4A. So that's where we at on capital. All the other projects continue to move along, no significant progress on the other ones. Next page is just an overview of code enforcement, where they're at in the budget. We're pretty much are even in terms of what we adopted, what the protection is. So we're pretty much in line to where we need to be at.
So they're going to still stay in the general fund.
They're still staying in the general fund. Always. So, right. Okay. Always. Yes. Uh-huh.
Always. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One question that came up about the graffiti abatement. Is it true that the city will handle the graffiti only if it's visible from the street?
That is the policy, right? That if it's visible from the street, but again, it's really just to be business friendly, residential friendly. We don't have that fast and hard rule. So if we know that it's created an impact, or it's really created a nuisance, or created other issues, that we could certainly take it. We could certainly address it. So.
Thank you.
It's really more of a priority, but yeah. Uh-huh.
It makes sense to do it that way. Sure.
Do you know if they're still doing cleanup for TEP?
I'm not sure.
Okay, because we tried to make a deal with them a while ago, so I'll ask around.
Yeah, I'm not. In terms of a deal as it relates to what cleanup in the alleys, easement cleanups, what are you referring to?
No, I'm talking to graffiti on TEP equipment. So, you know, all the ugly poles they're putting up the giant brown ones.
Oh, okay, okay.
So what we see is people trying to clean up the graffiti. They use paint that doesn't match. So that is still blight. And so at one time I thought we were going to have the graffiti, they were going to pay to have the city's graffiti abatement people do that.
Okay. Let me follow up with that. I know there's times that essentially that their preference would be is for them to abate it. And we just tell them, hey, we got graffiti at this particular location. I know they're a little bit different. Like TEP one said, Transformers painted where they're paying and they want to do them. Poles, I'm not really sure where they're at. Like even Quest or CenturyLink or Lumen now says, hey, just give me the list. I'll go ahead and abate them. So everyone has a different, I would say, preference. So let me check how we're doing that and I'll send a note back.
Okay. Well, for the other ones, we have emails to directly work with the cable company and Quest and stuff and tell them to clean their graffiti out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. I just wondered if TEP was still doing it. So
with I'll double check.
Okay.
Carlos, I have a question. I'm looking at the expenditures for on pages 2 and 3. And when I do a quick calculation on it, we're looking at taking a loss of almost $2 million by the money shifting around with the salary budget consolidations and O&M groundwater protection adjustments that you see in the notes there. Mm-hmm. My concern is, number one, are we taking that into account? Are we looking at that? Number two, this has been going on for several months. When is this going to get worked out? The city needs to get, you know, their accounting department or our accounting, whoever's the accounting department, are getting paid big bucks. And this should not be continuing on. If this was a regular business, they wouldn't be able to function.
Point well taken. Definitely concur with your assessment. To answer your question, if you look at, so let's refer to page number 2. Okay.
Okay.
So this is how the spreadsheet is essentially is calculated, and this is where it's a little bit deceiving. So Brittany, if you don't mind going, or maybe I'll just use that one right there. Okay. So if you look at the minister, so let's focus on the administrative. And no, you know what? Let's go to page 2 because it's probably better for us to. So let's look at residential collections. Okay. So if you look at, okay, we see a line in saying what was adopted in fiscal year 23, and that's a $17.5 million.
Right. Okay?
Then because other salaries are coming in and are being built into that fund that they shouldn't belong, then that's what the $4 million comes about. So when you do the projection, we're essentially projecting based on those figures that we're going to be about $20 million in the $20 million expenditure. So right. That $2.7 million you see is the difference between what we're projecting in terms of expenditures versus what we adopted, and that's a 17.5. So when you look at that, they're saying we're gonna be in the red to the tune of 2.7, okay? But that's on the individual line item by itself. At the end of the day, if we that's, so again, looking at what we think we're gonna project in terms of spending, the $20.3 million versus what we adopted, the 17.5, that creates a delta in the negative of $2.7 million, okay? But if you look at, okay, let's look at page number 3 now, okay? So then, when they sum up, okay, all those figures, because we added page 1, page 2, and now page 3, we're saying is our overall budget that we adopted was $55.9 million. Based on all the expenditures where they lined up, we project that we're going to be in expending roughly $54.8 million. Okay. So that the projected expenditure, we're in line with the budget, and we're probably on the positive end to the tune of $1 million. So what you're seeing on those negative numbers is those expenditures are being built in areas that that shouldn't belong. But at the end of the day, when we sum up all those expenditures, we come up with a net balance that it's a sum zero or net sum in terms of what we projected we're gonna spend versus what we actually adopted. So that's where you see the 55.9 million, 54.8. And so that's the figure that I'm focusing on in terms of saying, we're gonna be okay to be on the positive side to the tune of 1 million.
Okay, so that answers that question. What about the second question?
In terms of why are we not getting it right? Well, I think we continue to work with that, okay? And I think part of it was really the transition, not only in terms of migrating, okay, to that system, and is really prioritizing, ensuring that one, we pay everybody out there. And two, the second thing is the focus is make sure that we can pay our bills, which we're having a difficulty on that. And then third, ensuring that the third component is, are we actually designating those expenditures where they're actually are being hit? And that's where they're working through that right now. So when you look at a city that you have multiple software systems that don't talk to each other, and you gotta prioritize essentially the connection between one and the other, that's essentially what we're seeing right now in terms of really coming up with all those figures. But I think it's going to take a few other months really to be able to get us in the right mix. I can tell you really, so that's on the finance side. And as an example, airing a little bit of dirty laundry is we're seeing essentially personnel that is assigned to other department and is still showing in our rosters. So, or vice versa, employees that belong to us are showing in somebody else's roster. So we continue to essentially work through that and get those things essentially taken care of. So I probably didn't answer your question. Long story short is totally understand it, totally understand frustration, working through that. And hopefully we can get that taken care of sooner rather than later.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate the discussion. My concern is, why would a city and why would an enterprise, such as what we are for ESG, why would they even enter into something like this without testing it first and making sure it's all going to work and have everything already coded ahead of time? That's my only question. I'm coming from the business side of it. When we have these meetings and we look at these, yes, it's really nicely prepared and stuff. But when you see a lot of red ink, I understand it nets out. I get it. But, it's frustrating, at least to me, when I hear all the time, well, they haven't got the bugs worked out. They haven't got the kinks worked. They haven't got this right. They haven't, at some point, we as an enterprise fund need to step back and say, city, we were working fine till you guys got your fingers in it. You messed it all up. You need to get your act together. Are we pushing back on them?
So the answer is yes. It's not so much we're pushing back, we're providing them the feedback. Yes, we need those numbers. We're seeing those discrepancies, and we're working through that on how we can get those resolved.
Do they have a deadline when they're going to try to get it all resolved?
To be honest with you, I don't know if there deadline exists.
I'm not laughing at you, Carlos. I'm just laughing. It's just
And I would be lying to say yeah, it's the state. I'm not aware of a date.
Yeah. All right.
Think it's going to be forever and ever. I know they're cognizant about it, and obviously on their end too is they're making decisions that they probably would feel a lot better making decisions with the right numbers being in place. Make sure that we're not. We're looking at the right information, that all of us are looking at the right information.
Right. No, I get it. We've got issues at TPD with setting people up, and they're, now that everything's city IT, things are all screwed up and it's a real mess. So I get it, but I just don't like looking at red numbers when they shouldn't be. And
we'll change them green for next, or orange for next time. No, I'm just kidding. Not being respectful. Sorry.
That's fine.
No, that sounds good. And any other questions for Carlos?
No, thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Well, we've really moved right along. We can go to item 8, future agenda items. And I know, Fred, you were interested in getting involved with that university move out waste. I'm just throwing this out there. Do you think we could set up like an ad hoc committee just to spend a little time on that, or still keep it in waste diversions, collections, and education? So maybe we can have a discussion about that.
Oh, we certainly can't have it. I'd like to have a discussion about that, but we can't have it without Trevor.
Right.
right. So, but I mean, for the next meeting, we'll have.
Well, yeah, we could put it on the agenda.
Yeah. I'd like to do that. I know since I've been on ESAC, we've never had an ad hoc committee. So Margo, you could probably help us with some discussion on that as well as how to handle it when we talk about it next month.
Okay, yeah, because I'm not sure we should look at our bylaws and see what it says. also, I think we talked about you appointing Trevor to.
Yes. Well, and I think I can just do that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get back to Brittany. So.
But we could ask for people to be appointed to other committees. I don't know, Susanna, is she on a committee or subcommittee?
No. So anyways, let's just maybe take a little bit of time. You know, it'll be the end of the year and
okay.
Maybe we can have a short discussion about that. Does that work, Brittany? She's not there.
No, I'm sorry. I just took a minute to unmute myself. Yeah, that works. I can rescind bylaws, especially for the new members. And then with all the members present, we can have it. There can be a discussion.
Okay. So, all right. Is there anything else you all would like to put on for future agenda items? Yes, Carlos?
So maybe it's a request and hopefully you are okay with it for us, maybe not to meet next month. A lot of us are going to be attending WasteCon and we're going to be returning from that conference on that Thursday. So it would really help us out if we are allowed really to skip the meeting in December or if you it works for you, we could just reschedule it for the following week.
I'll be out of town then.
The following week.
So, Brittany, can we just have a quick discussion about not meeting next month?
If staff's not available to hold the meeting,
right?
Or if you guys want to find a new time or skip the month because of the holidays.
It's December 15th, according to my calendar, is what we're talking about.
It
would be the following week.
The meeting would, it's actually the second meeting of December, or the second Thursday of the month. So actually the scheduled meeting's December 8th.
Right.
Which is not, isn't, that date is not available for staff to attend. So
it would be,
I can do a doodle poll. And I can send that out separately, and whether or not I can write up the questions to pose the questions, skip December, or will we have enough for quorum on this date? I can send out a doodle poll for that.
Okay, that I work. Like that. I think that would work.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And this way I can look at calendars between Carlos and other staff, and pick a selection or maybe two options, and then whether or not we're going to hold a meeting, or these are your two options.
Okay. Cause you know, at the beginning of the year, we didn't meet till March. so our year was cut short, but I understand all the December end of year stuff coming up for everybody. All right, let's go to item 10, adjournment, 4:52. So we had a quick meeting and lots to think about. So thanks for coming out and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Chris. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.